Hi guys, these are the worst 8 movies ever. My name is Greg Knox, and I'm joined on this very special episode by the co-host of the Pop Culture Pod and the co-host of Off the Reels, among other podcasts, of which there are many. It's Mr. Carl Rowland.
Hey guys. Thank you for having me on the show, Greg.
That's all right. I had to get you on because, as you'll see from the title of this very episode, we are talking about that cinematic masterpiece, Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, the 2001 classic Tom Green vehicle. The one that shot him into superstardom.
Yes, that Tom Green vehicle of which there is only literally this, I believe.
Only this. This is the only movie he ever made.
Yeah. Now there are
not the only movie he ever starred in, but the only movie ever.
Yes, made. Because no, he has starred in other films as well, especially around this time. Yes. So if you have never listened to this show before, please expect spoilers because we're going to be talking the absolute shit out of the film.
As we say on my show, warning, we spoil everything.
Indeed, we do. And also, I don't think this is a particularly upsetting film.
There is some upsetting scenes, some gross-out scenes. I think the main one is the hospital one is the only one I'd say is a truly upsetting scene.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only one scene that's kind of a little bit upsetting. But other than that, you're not likely to get offended by this. But
in this current internet generation, nothing will offend you. I mean, you've seen worse just logging into the internet.
Yeah, you'd think so, but you know what the world's like. So
yes,
it's always worth kind of warning you, if you're likely to be offended, please turn away now.
Well, the mentioning of just Tom Green should realise you're about to be offended.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's the man, what the man did best.
Yes, so this is very much, as you said, a Tom Green vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So this came out in 2001, and there's a lot we can say about the film itself. This is really the only film that he's directed, he's directed three films or something like that, but yeah, this is the only film he's known for.
This is the only film that he is known for, except for his cameo in Charlie's Angels.
Yes, which I actually want to talk about, because it's actually quite interesting.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's interesting in comparison to sort of how soon this came out after that.
Yeah.
And there's actually some comparisons between Charlie Angels and this that I actually do want to make. But we'll get onto that in a minute. Before this, he was most well known for doing The Tom Green Show.
Yep, which was his own show on MTV in late 90s. Literally, I think the show ended then the movie came out.
Okay, so what I've never seen The Tom Green Show, Carl. So what am I missing?
Tom Green Show is basically, the movie's basically Tom Green Show, the movie.
Right.
It's just random skits and stuff, him upsetting the public. Like, the gross out humor-y stuff, but it's more like prank-based.
Okay. So that sounds kind of like Jackass.
It's very much like Jackass, but Jackass was, these guys were all like skate kids and trying to go out and these are skate kids that couldn't skate but still wanted to make skate videos, so they did stunts.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in this film. It's dated immediately because Tom Green is on a skateboard.
Hey, skateboards are coming back, man.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, to me, like, skateboarding is...
Oh, it's very 2000s.
Very
yeah.
Early 2000s. You've got CKY and Jackass and sort of, yeah, Bam Margera and Tony Hawk.
Not too long later, but kind of the crown on it is Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, oh yeah. I used to prefer Dirty Sanchez.
I do, and another gross-out movie that I definitely is a worst date movie would definitely be the Dirty Sanchez movie.
I can imagine, yeah.
The Seven Deadly Sins, including one man drinking his own liposucked fat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the movie gets dark.
Oh, okay. Wow, I was not aware there was a Dirty Sanchez movie, so it sounds as if I need to get in on that.
Absolutely. It literally starts off with them trying to do a stunt and they're all sent to hell. Opening track is obviously Turbo Negro's All My Friends Are Dead. But this is not Freddy Got Fingered, which is the movie we are discussing.
No, indeed. So for those of people who maybe don't know the story of Freddy Got Fingered, Carl, would you take it away?
Yes. Shockingly, Tom Green doesn't play the title character of Freddy. He's Gordy. Gordy is an animator and a bit of an eccentric character. He goes to LA to work at a cheese sandwich factory goes to LA to sell his drawings to an animation firm because he wants to be an animator, but he has no real characters. Ends up moving back home, meets a disabled nurse at a hospital when his friend breaks his leg on his skate ramp, who is into fellatio and getting her legs caned. It's basically his adventure of trying to write his animation. and the wacky things that ensue, because he takes every bit of information to heart. Like, he has to get inside the animals.
Yes.
So he takes that as literally he has to get inside of animals.
Yes, that's quite a well-known scene in the film.
it's the first gross-out moment is the deer.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, yeah.
It's the simple premise of the movie is it's about Gordy and his eccentric life as he's trying to sell his animations whilst going up against his dad who thinks he's a doodler, he's wasting his life.
Yeah.
He's got a successful brother called Freddy. But more on him later.
Yes. Yeah, so it's interesting. So the title's called Freddy Got Fingered, but there is no mention of fingering until 51 minutes into the film.
Oh, yeah, it's way past the halfway mark.
Yeah, so there is a plot of sorts, but the plot is not really what you watch this movie for.
It's Tom Green and how people react to his surrealist... It's the world through his eyes.
Yes.
Which is basically... I am going to go as batshit insane as I possibly can. Not even within reason. There's no... there's the first gross-out moment, but when his friend breaks his leg and he starts licking the bone...
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
It's fucked up moment number one of several.
Yeah.
Because he attaches... a baby's umbilical cord to himself, which is revealed when Betty tries to go down on him.
Yeah, there's a
on
lot
their
of,
first date.
There's a lot of fucked up stuff. But I wanted to ask,
yes,
how do you define this film? Because apparently, I don't know, because I'm not Tom Green.
That is difficult.
But apparently, he doesn't like sort of Adam Sandler, and he doesn't like a lot of comedy films that came out around this time that are based around the story of kind of a man-child who is basically trying to find their way in the world, doesn't get on with their family, and things like that.
But there's always the moment at the end when they reconcile, because he changes and realises that he can own that donut shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, or he can raise this kid that is actually his friend's kid who he knocked up at a Hooters. That's the actual plot to Big Daddy.
Yeah, so exactly. You can kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah, this is very different of the comedy we were getting at the time, because this is also just as the teen comedy movies about to boom. This is about your American Pies, your Harold and Kumars are about to come out around this time. Seven American Pie movies?
Wow, yeah, there's a lot of American Pie movies,
One including Bug Love, who was Alfalfa in the 90s Little Rascals movie. You wanted random facts, Greg.
Yeah, I did. That's why I brought you on the show. Random shit. But yeah, my point is obviously...
You brought me on for a random movie because I'm a random guy, and I appreciate that.
No, that's cool, man. No, this is perfect for you, which is why I say I brought you on the show. Now, this film...
But I class this as a surrealist comedy.
Yes. No, I agree. I think that's probably the best way to describe it, because it is a gross-out comedy in that gross things happen in it, but calling it a gross-out comedy I don't think is entirely accurate.
No, there's... It's not like a sausage party or even a Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber or Farrelly Brothers, like Something About Mary.
Oh, and Shallow Hal stuff like that.
Shallow Hal, or like Wayans Brothers style movies.
White Chicks.
Yeah. Yeah, White Chicks is very,
Little
very...
Little Man.
Yeah, those kind of films.
Yeah. And there's a Netflix comedy where he's now playing septuplets.
Yeah, he's doing the Eddie Murphy thing.
Yeah. Well, Marlon Wayans is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What happened then, basically, is that Tom Green, he was given $14 million, which in 2001 is a lot of money.
It's what a good indie will get now, but yeah, at the time, that's a mid-year release.
Some indies you're lucky
gonna,
to
people
get
are going
to
ride
million.
That. You can use that box office to ride into the summer, basically.
Yeah.
And it came out around springtime, so that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it came out on 420, Carl.
Course it did. All great movies. What Hitler's birthday? How dare you? Shout out to Tom Stanek Cook.
Of course.
But Yeah, I'd, obviously the Stone of High Holiday.
Of course.
Representing the Travellers of the Green.
And it's fair to say, yeah, 14 minutes, a lot of money, because Tom Green, he built up a name for himself. He was going
as
out
a low-budget guy, so it's a lot of money to him as well. Yeah. And that's, I think that's why there's not a lot in production in this, but it has who he has star in it.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Because Rip Torn's a get. I mean, I know he hadn't acted a lot at that time, and it's just before he got Dodgeball and stuff like that, but... It's still Rip Torn. He's still one of the greatest actors.
It's 4 years removed from, like, Men in Black.
Yep.
I guess. So, yeah.
Oh, no. No, yeah. It's 4 years removed, 2 years before the sequel.
Mm. So, yeah, he is not a nobody.
Oh, no, no, no. I didn't say it like that, but I still...
But he's a get. No,
he's I'm get. In, yeah. Considering it's the only other real major star in that movie would be the guy who played Finch in American Pie, but that came out around the same time.
And Drew Barrymore.
Cameo from Drew Barrymore, and she and they were dating at the time.
They were dating at the time, yes, but she is the biggest star in the film.
Relevant star, yes.
Relevancy, yes, yes.
Because I'm completely unrelated, and I've noticed that I'm changing topics happening a lot on the show.
That's all right.
Have you seen Drew Barrymore's zombie series, The Santa Clarita Diet? As I know you like horrors and a take on zombies, I would recommend it.
Cool.
Just for the mythology aspect alone.
Well, I'm looking to get into some kind of horror sort of TV, like American Horror Story and...
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yep. Yeah, that's another one I need to kind of get.
It's fan service, but in the best possible way.
Yeah.
With Raimi's hands on it.
Yeah. But anyway, he's been given...
Freddy!
Mr. Green has been given all this money, and from what I understand from doing my research, like he wanted... This is his vision, unfiltered, for the most part. This is what he wanted to do, was to make this movie, for better and for worse. And the critics absolutely hated it. I'm going to read out some of the
Do you
quotes.
Have Leonard Maltin's review?
Well, according to Wikipedia, a CNN critic, Paul Clinton, declared it quite pot simply the worst movie ever released by a major studio in Hollywood history. That's not true.
compared to films we've had in the last 18 years since this movie, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, Seltzberg and Friedberg and Seltzer did not exist at this point, so there we go. A review in the Washington Post.
I was going to go with Justice League.
Oh, okay.
Or Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice, or the Green Lantern movie.
Well,
I have a problem with DC, folks, and they're my favourite comics.
Or the Fantastic Four.
You mean Fan-Four-Stick?
Fan-Four-Stick, yes.
I'm going to get you, Trank. I'm going to hunt you down.
Well, he's kind of doing a good job of that himself, sort of, you know, ruining his career.
He's still got the Tom Hardy Capone movie, hasn't he?
He does,
Guido?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Another review said, if ever a movie testified to the utter creative bankruptcy of the Hollywood film industry is the abomination known as Freddy Got Fingered. A reviewing for it said, one of the most brutally awful comedies ever to amuse from a major studio, and the most well-known review from the late Roger Ebert said, this movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel, this movie isn't the bottom of the barrel, this movie isn't below the bottom of the barrel, this movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels.
Dang.
So it's fair to say it was not very, very well received.
It wasn't, and the reason the film made it $14.3 million in its box office. Yes. So it made $0.3 million back on top of its budget.
Yeah.
So technically, it's classed as a success.
Yeah, technically it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But it made all its money really from DVD sales. This was a quintessential, like, dude, have you seen this movie? It's like Clerks or Dogma or Evil Dead, or it's a cult movie. It's one of those things that you show to people, not as in it has cult status, but it's one of those things that it has its nice little audience.
Well, like The Room.
The Room, 100% The Room.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because obviously this is not a very, very well-received movie. It's considered to be, by many people, a bad movie in the same way that The Room is.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'll pose to you, Carl, is that, so in theory, and... This is a very, very general question, I know, but like, a bad movie in itself, is a bad movie necessarily the worst choice for a date movie?
No. There are some bad movies that I generally would show on a date movie. The Room isn't one of them.
Okay.
This definitely isn't one of them. This is a bold... If you show this on a date, this is a bold choice. This is right. Someone that you've got to have previous knowledge that they like bad movies.
Yes.
Because you could not sit them down. Because this is their first perception of what you watch for fun.
Yes.
So I generally go with like Guardians of the Galaxy or...
yeah, it's very safe choices.
Safe choices. Yes, it's the Notebook. Agree. Is always a good choice.
Yes, the Notebook is a very, very safe choice. Yes.
But... bad movie that I would recommend to watch. Like I would show like Shoot 'Em Up, which I consider a bad movie, but it goes in very different places, but the comedy runs through it.
It depends also on what is considered a bad movie. Yeah. When I say a bad movie, it's what is widely considered to be a bad movie.
It's panned, critically panned.
Yeah, so a movie like... The Room is interesting. So I would think The Room is probably a good date movie, and I'll say why that is.
I would only show it after the 12 minutes, first 12 minutes with the three sex scenes.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
That's the only reason I don't consider it a date movie. But it's... It's one of those things, if it was going to be a date, I'd take her to a geek out showing of The Room. Yeah, you need the experience.
Take it to the Prince Charles, Tommy and Greg.
Yeah, no, I
get that. But the thing with The Room is that it's bad, but you can kind of poke fun at it and laugh at it, and they all get why it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. There are some people who just won't get the whole bad movie thing, why you can possibly enjoy a bad movie at all, because it's like, well, shit, why the fuck am I going to watch this?
Because every bad movie I watch makes an other movie look great in comparison.
That's very true. But there's a certain entertainment. So I posit something like The Room is a much better choice than something like, I don't know, Sharknado. Because Sharknado's a bad movie. It's more that it's been cynically made. So you can't deliberately make a bad movie. Because then it's like
parody movies, like scary movies and stuff
that. Like epic movie, disaster movie, vampires suck, and like all those kind of films.
Stan Helsing.
Yeah. All those kind of films, it's like, what's
which if you want to see Keenan play the character he played in All Out, watch that movie.
Hey, there you go. It's a recommendation for everyone.
He's basically Milkman.
Awesome. But like, those films have been made cynically to kind of go get people who like bad movies to go like, oh, well, this is another bad movie. And then, there are movies that have not been made deliberately bad, like Uwe Boll's movies. I'm sure Uwe Boll deliberately make
I'm
movies.
I'm pretty sure Blubberella.
Okay. Yeah, all right, maybe that one. But like House of the Dead or Alone in the Dark and like
his
those
video
kind of
game ones aren't too bad.
But I do not agree with that at all.
No.
House of the Dead is fucking terrible.
They're terrible movies, but what I mean is in the world of video game movies, it leans very much more to the source material.
Yeah.
Which I kind of appreciate as someone as a comic book fan with a comic book adaptation. So I'm always...
Okay.
If you're respectful of the source material, you get a little bit more good grace with me.
Okay, that's cool. But I'd say Freddy Got Fingered, yes. It's very, very white, badly reviewed at the time. But I would say it's got more in common with, say, like Ed Wood's movies. Because there was, you know, there's a... It's going to sound incredibly pretentious.
Tom Green was a
vision.
Yeah.
An auteurist vision there.
Tom Green is YouTube before YouTube. All of the stuff he did, Tom Green showing this, would totally work as a YouTube channel now.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
He's just doing... Because these are just it's prank channels. The stuff in this movie, you see stuff like this online all the time, and it gains traction. It's just it was before its time, and it obviously it was reviewed as a movie. But if this was a YouTube movie, this would have done gangbusters.
Yeah. Do you think Tom Green would have done better? Because one article I read is that Jackass, when that got popular, they made a Jackass movie that was exactly like the TV show.
Yeah, Jackass 1 is literally the show with an upped budget.
Yeah, with more of a budget, longer, etc.
Yeah, they got access to like several gallons of water and an actual medic on set and stuff.
Yeah. Whereas Tom Green, what he did, yes, it's his vision, but it's not the same entirely as the show. It's a film with like a plot.
It's got its own story.
He's not Tom Green. Well, he basically is Tom Green, but the character he's playing is basically Tom Green, but it's not him in theory.
No, it's him turned up to 11. It's a dialed up version of himself. Kind of like what Bo Burnham does.
Oh, okay. But like, do you think if he had made a feature-length version of his show, would that have maybe gone down better?
I think it would have, because he would have had the, it's the instilled audience of what Hollywood, is why we don't get much original stuff from Hollywood nowadays. It's safer to bank on a previous It's safer to bank on a previous existing product. And we've got a friend in the industry, Mr. Paul Davis, who says the exact same thing all the time. But he's still pitching to do his original, at least. He said there's people out there pitching it, it's just no one's buying it.
Which is unfortunate.
Which is very unfortunate. But then you do get Jordan Peele with like Us and Get Out, and there are some great biopics as well that's come out. Actually, one that I'd recommend for a good date movie, it's out there and it's wrestling, because it fits me and you.
You
would agree, Fighting With My Family would be a great...
Yeah, that's a good date movie.
A good date movie.
Yeah, that's... Not wanting to get this too off topic, there's certain aspects of it as a wrestling fan that I think, well, NXT isn't like that.
Yes, but we'll get... Me and you can describe that on a different day, but Freddy Got Fingered... only thing, it's a gross-out movie, but there's heart to it in places.
Yeah.
Like, the story of him and the relationship he has with Becca and the relationship he has with his dad, as much as he is literally the protagonist and antagonist in this movie...
Yeah, so if we're to kind of think about kind of what we think about the film itself, before we kind of talk about the things that happen in the film and what kind of why it might not necessarily be a good date movie, I mean, the plot is very kind of, well, the little plot there
the
is...
The plot's secondary.
Yeah, is very kind of formulaic. It's a guy, he's basically a man-child, he has dreams, he isn't particularly... Well, he kind of has talent, but he's not being pushed in the right direction.
He has a talent, but he's told that his talent's not worth anything. Because someone who's also been raised in a slightly monetary household, it's true. I mean, if you're not earning money or you don't have money or stuff, it doesn't mean much if you have talent elsewhere.
Yeah. And there's like all the kind of stock characters. There's the best friend.
You've got the best friend. You've got the female love interest. Yeah, the
kind
dad.
Of like a manic pixie dream girl in a way, very, very subversive kind of way.
I love the fact that flipping Creamer it is the way to tell that she's a rocket scientist. It's like, it's every left turn. It's just like, she's a hot, cute blonde nurse in the hospital that he's going to fall in love with. But no, she's a rocket scientist in a wheelchair.
Yeah. And then he just meets her at the hospital, and then she just immediately agrees to go on a date with him.
Him?
With him, yes.
Speaking to someone who's been single for a while, him.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I feel sorry for his brother.
I feel sorry for his friend as well.
I think it's about time we're on a show where Freddy Got Fingers, we talk about Freddy.
Yeah, basically... Every character in the film is kind of somewhat normal. Even the dad, Rick Torn's character.
He's got a job, he works, he comes
he's
home.
He's normal and he's an adult and they're responsible. And then, yeah, you've got Tom, like, Gord. Yeah. He basically just dicks around all day.
Yeah.
Wants to eat chicken sandwiches. Just so stupid.
He's wasting all the hot water one morning, and that's because he's decided he's going to go diving in the shower.
Yeah.
And he's found treasure, which is soap on a rope.
Oh, Daddy, I found a treasure.
Which gets kicked into the toilet, so he decides he has to dive into the toilet to save the treasure. They're going to be rich.
I love the fact that there's a restaurant, and everyone in the movie goes to this one restaurant at the same time.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
And that kid who gets constantly wanged in the face.
Yeah, that's one thing that... I don't really like, because the thing is, humour is entirely subjective.
Yeah, it's a joke that it was funny the first time when he accidentally runs into the door.
Yeah.
But then it's the ball in the face, and then dad hits him in the face.
And obviously the end as well.
And then, of course, right at the end, he gets his face entirely chopped off by a plane blade.
It's like, yeah, I mean, okay, there's that aspect that doesn't really work. But, I mean, there's other things... talking about the filmmaking of Freddy Got Fingered. But basically, as ridiculous as that is, like, there's certain things that I don't really like about this film. It's interesting. We mentioned Charlie's Angels earlier. Now, I watched Charlie's Angels very recently, and I hated that film.
That surprisingly holds up.
Okay, because one thing that I didn't like about Charlie's Angels, and I assume this is a McGee thing, is that basically all the action scenes are like a music video.
Yeah,
there's this music playing in the background. It'll be like a well-known song, and then there'll be people fighting.
Oh, the soundtrack on these are insane, both of them. Both the originals. I don't know what about the new one. It's most really good. Oh no, it's got an original rap track thinking Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, and someone else. Miley Cyrus.
Okay, so, but this has got, what I don't like about this is, first of all, it looks very of its time. It's very of its time, not just the way that the humour and kind of what's going on. It got skateboarding and things like that.
Oh, you Freddy Got Fingers, yes. It's very of the time.
It's very of its time. It doesn't really hold up, if we're being completely honest.
No. It would stand out if released today. The fact that he hasn't got a cell phone and he's got to use a tape recorder and a walkabout phone.
Yeah.
A cordless.
A cordless, yes. Yeah. But what really annoyed me watching it, the kind of couple of times that I've watched it in preparation for the show, is that all the musical choices are so on the nose, it's ridiculous. Like, you've got a montage of Tom Green, he's got a car, so obviously it's like, dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. It's like, that is so on the nose. Or like, when he's feeling a bit depressed, they'll play a Moby song. That's how you know it's from like the early 2000s. It's got fucking Moby on the soundtrack. I don't know, like,
and this is about around the time Without Me came out, so he was getting dissed by Eminem at the time as well.
Okay, well, you got Eminem on the soundtrack as well, right at the end.
Yeah, without me.
You've got, like, I don't know, like, there's one example of a song, I don't know the name of the song, but it's called We're a Happy Family, We're a Happy Family. This is when him and his dad are arguing and stuff like that. So this sound is just so annoying, and that it's just so on the nose and just so unsubtle in kind of what it's trying to tell you.
That's just McGee all over. He was a renowned music video director. So
Freddy Got Fingered as well. Yeah. That's what I mean. So in Freddy Got Fingered, like,
I think it's Tom Green deciding, I'm going to use a musical cue here instead of letting what's happening in the scene use it. You couldn't score this thing.
Apparently he did want to score it. Apparently there was, according to Tom Green, again, an interview I read with him, the film was supposed to be half an hour longer, and there was a lot of stuff that they cut out because there's certain things the studio said, no, we're not having that. Look at the stuff that did stay in. Imagine what
swinging a baby by the umbilical cord.
Yes. Stuff like
tossing
that.
Off a horse. And an elephant.
And an elephant. And the elephant jizzing everywhere.
Carg, coming out of it was like a white family.
But, like, apparently there was supposed to be, like, a dark score, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think a score would work. I don't like the music in the movie, really. It's nothing memorable. It's very of the time.
It's ridiculous.
It's not going to be played 10 times over like the Guardians soundtrack was for me. But
It's not like a Scorsese soundtrack, let's put it that way. And also, to me, this is something that I noticed, is Tom Green's character, it's just Tom Green himself. Some of these scenes, particularly
dial up to 11, maybe.
With the baby in particular, and like when he's wearing the moose skin, and he just looks fucking mental.
Yeah,
he looks so mental. Like, he looks like actually disturbed, as in, like, you should actually be locked up.
Well, at the time, he was doing all the drugs.
Well, no shit. Yeah.
No, he's clean. He's clean now.
Probably for the best.
But he was just him. He had free reign, and the point is that he was trying to be satirical, and it comes out more insanity. But it's Tom Green. I mean, they were just like, he would roll the camera and then get into the moose costume and just start flailing about.
I imagine there's a lot of improv. A lot of these kind of films, there generally is, isn't there? So I imagine.
Oh, the gag reel for this thing's like 2 hours long.
Yeah. Basically, the point I'm trying to make, I'm rambling like a motherfucker, but basically, I'm trying to make is that from a traditional standpoint, it is not a good film.
No.
But I still enjoy it, nonetheless. Because it's like,
it's what not to do. It's how not to make a comedy.
But it's not boring. I don't think it's boring at all. I'm surprised when I see reviews that say it's boring. I suppose if you don't find it funny, if you find it puerile, if you find it disgusting, in bad taste, then yes, you are probably going to find this massively boring and offensive.
It's not low in common denominator. This is a film for people that...
It's not at all.
This is just a very satirical. It's one of those movies that I like it because it's just so out there and so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I can't believe it. I'm a full fan of movies that of the podcast. One of my favorite podcasts that does delve into bad movies as well is How Did This Get Made?
Yeah,
it's just you got to enjoy these bad movies because you time effort went into them and people thought these were going to be the best things in the world, and they never are.
Do you think Tom Green knew? I mean, he must have known that people weren't going to like this, and he just didn't care.
He didn't care. He just wanted to make this movie. He's just like, oh, "This is my magnum opus. This is me on celluloid. Take it."
Yeah, I mean, there are bits about it that the only stuff that people there's a lot of stuff that people quote from this film a lot. It's a very quotable.
Look, Daddy, I'm a farmer.
It's just you got.
I actually bought sausages for me and Greg. Because, yes. Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage?
The whole idea of that is ridiculous anyway. Because if you haven't seen the film, you've got Tom Green. He's basically been told, you've got to be creative.
He should eat some food, play some music.
Yeah, like Betty giving him this advice. Because basically all the characters, like Betty, his best friend, they're all giving him this good advice,
and it's advice that he's taken to heart.
Yeah,
which he should take to heart, but he's taking literally,
too literally.
Yeah.
So he's got like stakes stapled to his ears or whatever, and yeah, he's got these sausages dangling from strings
on his finger so he can play music,
play the keyboard, and go, "Daddy, would you like some sausage?" Which is
the backwards man, the backwards man. Backwards, I can walk backwards, you can,
because it's just so ridiculous.
You can.
What I love is. My sense of humour is kind of weird. I like stuff which is just absurd.
I don't mind a bit of absurdity.
It's just so ridiculous.
It's why I like Brickleberry and Paradise PD, stuff like that.
That's kind of why I like The Big Lebowski, because a lot of stuff that happens in The Big Lebowski, it's stupid people being stupid, but a lot of it is just so ridiculous that you have to kind of find it funny. And The Backwards Man is kind of one of those things. It's like, what? It serves no purpose, but it's amazing.
Well, it's just like his first character we meet of his drawings, X-Ray Cat. You can only see through wooden doors.
It's just so stupid. Or like him wanking off a horse.
Yeah.
You know, just cause. Like, just that's in the first 5 minutes.
Whilst
of the
manically
film.
Eating a platter of sandwiches.
Yeah, that's just
it's
again.
One it starts off like a normal sandwich, then it's like a sub, and then it's literally a whole platter of sandwiches that he's just ramming into his gob.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of the. It's probably my favourite sort of one of these sort of short little scenes in the film is where he has to go back to working in this cheese.
All right, this is what I love for the gripe is. Did you read the wanted sign that before he goes in and gets that job?
No, that's
must have experience with cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, must have experience making cheese sandwiches.
No, just with cheese sandwiches.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, no, I did spot that actually. Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say something else. You're normally good at spotting. Like,
there's not much in this. There's not much Easter eggy stuff in this. Right. I did like. Again, it's just like the only reason that Drew Barrymore was in there. Drew Barrymore didn't get paid. She only did it because she was dating Tom Green at the time. Yeah. There's not really much Easter eggy stuff. Rip Torn, apparently, this is one of the most fun he's ever had on the set because
I'm not surprised.
Because he loves this
tell
kind
as
of
well.
Humor. He's having so much fun.
Fuck me.
Yeah. How they got Shaquille O'Neal.
He's only in one scene, though.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of Shaquille O'Neal in that scene. I saw parts. It winked at me. Also, mazel tov to Shaq's lady friend, who is 5'1".
That's happens like right at the end.
Oh, because he says to his mom that you should go away, you should marry, like,
you want to get back with your husband.
The Greeks!
It's ridiculous. My favourite scene is where he's working at the cheese sandwich place and they've got the unhappy customer and then he just goes absolutely mental at him. What is a legitimate gripe is like there's not enough cheese in my cheese sandwich. So he just puts a ridiculous, what the fuck am
he
I
literally
to
puts
into?
A but as someone who works
cheese in your bum bum.
Cheese in your bum. Because he literally umpires as someone who works in a Greg's. Piles tons and tons of cheese.
Yeah.
At least, going by our portioning, about 10, I'd say at least about 50, 60 sandwiches worth of cheese in one sandwich. Also, a bunch of ham, lettuce and tomato. Just, what am I supposed to do with this? Put it in your But the reason, the title of the movie is Freddy Got Fingered, because when they, basically the mum has had enough of the of Gordy and his dad fighting, so they go to therapy.
Yeah.
And to get out of therapy and just to put to screw his dad over, he says that he touches his little brother Freddy, and Freddy got fingered. And he just keeps screaming it at the top of his lungs,
and then he jumps until out he takes the fucking a bust window.
And throws it through a window, and then jumps out and then runs away cackling.
That's
so they go amazing. they go to Freddy's house that evening. The Child Protective Services pick up Freddy, who is a man.
Yeah, I know.
And take him to an abused children's home.
He's got an actual job and everything.
In a bank.
In a bank. That's where all the responsible people work. They all work in a bank in this universe.
Well, so does Johnny Johnny America. Johnny Americana in The Room. He works in a bank.
Oh, yeah, he does.
To relate to bad movies.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, God. And, yeah, and that is a non sequitur in itself, because Freddy gets put into care and he's just there forever and nothing
well
really
no he's
happens.
Just like he's the one kid turns to him and goes, so did your dad finger you? And he's like, no, it's okay, man, we've been there.
As they're watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I love.
I was thinking what the movie was.
Yeah, that I like little stuff like that. Okay, we brought it up a couple of times, but there's a few. Do you like the scene in the hospital?
No.
It's just so ridiculous.
No, I don't like
it. And it's proper psychotic.
Yeah, with me, I can watch any horror movie and gore and that does not bother me in the slightest, but it's when it's hospital stuff.
Right.
Because it's too connective in my mind. It's just like, I can't watch actual surgery stuff.
Okay.
Because I know that's real. That's not prosthetics.
Okay, so you love Faces of Death then?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. There's just...
It's Faces of Death 3 or Go Home.
That's Traces of Death. Traces of Death is much better. No, that's not. I've never seen Traces of Death, incidentally. I think he must have done this to be as annoying as possible, because the pregnant woman is shouting at him.
He's stumbling over stuff. He's just shouting at his mate.
He's shouting.
He's also still twisting his friend's broken leg.
Yeah, you got the women playing tambourines in the background, just non-stop. He deliberately made it to be as obnoxious as possible. He's shouting at this
woman. Basically elbows a woman so her baby shoots out of her, then decides to grab the baby by the umbilical cord and swing it around the room.
And the baby is somehow fine.
Oh yeah, it's not crying until Freddy
bites the umbilical cord as well, which is like, oh god, yeah. I mean, look, I'm like,
and then attaches it to himself.
He does, which is a bit of a random payoff there. And he gets away with all this stuff, doesn't get arrested.
Nope.
That's what I love about films like this. It's like, you know, man, he's jacked off a random horse. He's got hit by, a massive, you know,
he does
truck.
Tons of property damage wherever he goes.
He has the fight in the restaurant where the police actually appear, but he then gets bailed
out. Get
out
the bar, asshole!
Yeah.
And then immediately bailed out by his paraplegic girlfriend.
Yes.
Sorry. Paraplegic rocket scientist girlfriend.
Yeah, that is very accurate. Very, very important detail there.
She's a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
And their relationship is, let's have a scene where we're happy. Let's have a scene where we're sad. Let's have a scene where we're happy. Let's have a scene where we're sad.
Yeah, and I mentioned, obviously, you've got this woman, who's an attractive woman.
Becky's lovely.
Yeah, where she gets turned on by having her... paralyzed legs hit with a cane over and
her
over and
nerve
over
endings are messed up in her legs, that any strike she feels in her legs registers as pleasure for her, not pain.
And then he hits her in the face kind of accidentally.
He gets too into it and then swings upwards into her face, thinking that's the next logical step.
And she's obsessed with giving blowjobs.
Yeah, she says suck your cock too much in this movie. Literally, her whole last line to him is just like, I don't care if you had any money, I would still suck your cock. But he's glad that you're rich so I could suck your cock. It's all that movie is.
Yeah. I feel really sorry for his friend, because his friend basically,
so he gets the rough end of the stick the whole movie.
He really does. He's totally there just to get sort of put down. He breaks his ankle. That bit is probably, to me, the worst thing.
Yeah. I've seen people who've hurt themselves skating, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's like, imagine this guy's broken his leg, his bone is like Sid.
Yeah.
Almost. or maybe not quite as bad as Sid, because Sid was real.
Yeah.
But there, you got actual what
Sid's not real.
No,
he's something that Vince McMahon made up.
But yeah, you got this bone kind of sticking out of his leg, and it's Tom Green starts licking the bone. It's like, Jesus Christ.
And then he gets into the hospital, and then of course he's still abusing him. Then he gets out of hospital, goes to work, and then his dad and Gordy's dad abuses him to find out where Gordy is later on in the movie.
All in all, pretty fucked up film.
Pretty messed up movie. I mean, I would recommend watching it once, just to say you've watched it. But I wouldn't say go out of your way to stream it. If you find a streaming service that's got it, it's not on Netflix at the moment.
Wow.
Much to my chagrin, I did try.
What a shame.
Oh, it has been. I'm sure
it has, yeah.
I've seen it as a banner film for Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was during that period where it literally lost everything, and it was bare minimums, and now they're starting to get stuff back now.
Mm. The only thing... I like it up to the point where basically he suddenly becomes a successful animator. The last sort of 15 minutes,
And his dad in India.
Yeah, well, Pakistan or India, yeah. Where the fire is.
Which is literally because he says to Gordy earlier on in the movie that if he had grown up in Pakistan, he'd been sewing soccer balls when he was four.
Yeah, it's a random throwaway line.
As he's walking out the room, and even the audio's turned down, he's walking out the room.
But all that stuff kind of, when he's got the $1 million and he spends all the $1 million straight away, he gets the house or the room, whatever, transplanted to Pakistan, there's a bit with the elephant, then they get taken hostage. It's like, I'm not so much a fan of that.
But him, Rip Torn, and Freddy all grew magnificent long hair and beards.
They did. I'm sure they were not real.
And I'm 90% sure that is good enough to make it an Oscar-worthy movie. Because you could just win an Oscar for hair and makeup now.
Yeah, well, hey.
I'm talking to you, Suicide Squad.
Yes. I knew you were talking about Suicide Squad, yeah. I've actually not had the pleasure.
I have. Both the... normal and the extreme edition.
Ah, right. Okay. I wasn't aware there was an extreme edition.
It has a couple of extra scenes that do help the plot out. It's the same with the ultimate edition of Batman vs. Superman. It fixes some of its continuity problems, but then also creates more at the same time.
Cool. Well, hey. I'll need to watch Suicide Squad. Possibly. Or maybe not. I'm probably not missing anything.
I don't think you need to.
No, and it's the same with Freddy the Finger as well.
If it's a cold, rainy day in Shrewsbury, maybe.
Well, I've been to Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury is a lovely really place,
nice.
Actually. It's all right.
It's really nice. You get good green cake there.
But if you are having a rainy day in Shrewsbury and you want something to watch, and, you know, you're into kind of gross-out stuff, you're into kind of... I wouldn't say... Because some people...
I'd watch Big Mouth.
Some people have kind of gone to the extent of saying this is like some surrealist, Godard-esque masterpiece of surrealism.
Oh, I would not give Tom Green much credit.
Not
in a nasty way. He's a very clever man, and some of the stuff he's done is good, but not for this.
No, I don't think this is some like massive deconstruction of gross-out comedy.
It's the stuff he's not doing
satire,
you've got to pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, I'd still think... It's a bad film, but yes. I do enjoy it nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Because it's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And there's nothing in it that I think is sort of too far, but that's because I have a very messed up sense of humor.
To answer the question of this show, no, I would not show this on a first date.
No. So you would say it's a bad date movie?
I'd say it's a bad date movie,
okay.
Yes.
I would probably agree this is a bad date movie only because of all the stuff that we've mentioned in terms of kind of like, you know, the
Would I watch this again? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've watched it like 3 or 4 times. I've watched this more than I've seen like The Godfather, which is probably like, you know.
Don't get me started on The Godfather.
Just as an example.
I'll put it this way, and it's a reference people get. I have the same view as Peter Griffin.
Oh, okay. But like, I think if you're looking for I think a lot of people watch comedy for the reasons that I watch a lot of horror films is because they're generally not that long You can. It's normally 80 to 90 minutes. They generally don't tax your brain very much. You can kind of put it on, not really pay that much attention, and then very occasionally something will happen. You go, oh, okay.
Yeah, as someone who is a comedy fan, that is generally why I watch comedies, because they're short, they're quick.
Yeah.
But I also do like, I like the more dark movies and stuff like that. But I mean, my favourite genre is superhero movies, but that's now a 20 film long interconnected universe.
Wow. Yes, it is. It's a big
20,
one.
No, it'll be 23 as of the release of, what's next? Black Widow.
Wow, that's a huge interconnected universe.
Yeah, buddy.
So, because of, you know, animal masturbation, you've got yes. sort of, you know, him...
Which is referencing Clerks. I don't know if that's a nod to Clerks.
I think that's giving Tom Green too much credit, I think. I don't know. Him wearing a moose costume, yep. like literally getting inside the animals.
Swinging a baby around.
Swinging the baby around, licking a friend's broken leg. You got the whole, yeah, Betty, all the stuff that we mentioned just mm-hmm. now.
The umbilical cord.
You've got the, basically, what is the meant to be the central plot of the film. You got, yeah, just
there's more ticks in the negative than the positive, but there's some really good stuff in the positive. Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that is possibly not great sort of date movie material, let's put it that way. I would say it's a bad movie. I've seen a lot worse date movies,
yes,
for sure.
I'd say it's bold. I would say it's a bold choice for a first date movie.
I would say you need to be with the right person to watch this, but for yeah. a lot of people, they're just going to think it's stupid, and they'll probably just think
if it's someone idiot. if you've got someone who likes bad movies as much as you do, then yeah, they might get a kick out of it, because it's usually at that point you're comparing what you consider what bad movies are.
Yeah, and I mean, if I was to rate it on the bad movie scale, so basically one is kind of like it's practically a good movie, and five is like Salo or Cannibal Holocaust, I would say this is probably more like a 2 or a 3.
I'd give it a 2.5.
Yeah, it's like a 2. I would say probably a 2.
Do you do halves, or do you prefer the rounded?
I try and avoid halves.
All right, then I'd lean closer to 3.
Yeah, I would probably give it a 2, because it's not depressing. It's kind of fun. It was, you know, his heart is in the right place. It's telling a story. It's a very, very overly kind of well-worn story. And but
it's a very basic story.
It's about kind of, you know, not giving up on your dreams and kind of not listening to people who doubt you, which is very admirable, I guess. But yes, it's also got, you know.
It's told in a way that also involves swinging a baby around, getting into either a deer carcass and elephant jism.
Yes. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, overall, then, sort of not the worst possible date movie, but I would say probably not a great idea unless you're with someone who's kind of, you know, that way inclined.
It's find out if she's into bad movies. If this is the only thing you've got in a desert island date situation, which how's that not become a TV show? But I wouldn't go for it on a first date. I've made some bold first date choices.
Okay, such as.
People have told me that I shouldn't go with, but I usually go with Charlie Bartlett as a first date movie.
I've never seen that.
It's Robert Downey Jr., Anton Yelchin, and Kat Dem Titties Dennings.
Okay.
It's just before he did Iron Man, and it's Anton Yelchin's only like real lead movie outside of Green Room.
Okay. But that's a much better date movie than anything that I've mentioned on this channel, in fairness. So, no, hey, I'd say that's a fairly safe bet. If you are like me and Carl and you enjoy this film,
yes,
you can't buy it on Blu-ray, but you can buy it on DVD from 20th Century Fox, yep. who put all that money forward to kind of release this film. Apparently the best version is the Region 1 version, if you're into your extras, because apparently that has an extra commentary track. So, yeah.
I think that's Tom Green's commentary track.
Yes, there's another one as well, apart from Tom Green, but yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought, sorry.
But yeah, it's...
But Tom Green's commentary track is worth listening to.
I'm sure,
because it's not during the time of the movie, it's a few years later on.
Oh, okay.
So he's stepped away.
Have
from
you heard it?
I have. Oh, I've heard bits of it, because it's... Okay.
How does he feel about the movie?
He still sees it as a great experience. He's more of a guy about the experience and sort of stuff. And he said I had fun making it. I know it didn't do well, but, you know.
Yeah. I think you get that impression. It's
the same with his interview on Bunny Ears. He said it was more about the experience. Like, I never thought I'd act with Rip Torn and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can tell that he's... It's one of these, it's like... Mark Kermode has this thing where it's like, the better time people have making a film, the worse the film is.
Yeah.
And yeah, with a lot of comedies, it's true. It's just like, you know,
the only one against that is Endgame.
Oh, okay. Well, there's exceptions to everything, isn't there?
But yeah, the movies where people are having such a good time are generally crap movies.
But we've had a great time doing this podcast.
Yes, it's been great.
So
thank you for coming.
I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast. This definitely does not prove that rule, because mm-hmm. I've had a great time with Carl on the show today.
Thank you for having me, man.
That's
all
right.
It's been a pleasure.
So if all the good people who listen to this show, if they've enjoyed having you on my show and they want to listen to more of your stuff, where can they find you? Plug your shit.
Oh, cheeky plug time. I'm a host of several podcasts. My main podcast would be the Pop Culture Pod, which is a bi-monthly, as in twice a month, nerdy new show that I do with my friend Dan Chapman. One episode is our monthly review of all the news. We're doing our San Diego Comic-Con show next. And then our other show is One for Paul, which I do with my man and my sound editor, Paul Drulett, who has not seen anything in pop culture. So we are educating him on pop culture.
Awesome.
My other show that I'm doing at the moment is also my wrestling podcast, which is Stop the Damn Match, which I'm bringing back slowly. My next show that I'm going to be recording will be my predictions and my view of AEW going into All Out, their first big event before their TV release, which is October 2nd.
Yes.
And the card looks sick. What, Sammy Guevara versus Cody Rhodes? Fuck you. And my other show that I do is called The Green Monocle, and that references what I spoke about earlier.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So a man with many, many podcasts. Mm-hmm. I first met Carl doing a show called Off the Reels, which is for our mutual friend Tom Dennett Cook, who we referenced earlier. Mm-hmm. Man loves his Nazis.
The Dave Thomas Podcast Network does not endorse Nazis. Haven't said that in a very long time.
But yeah, no, it's been awesome. I've been trying to put this together for ages. I want to thank you very much for doing the show.
No, sorry it's taken so long. No, I am a fan
You're
of the
You're a
show.
Very busy man. You've got so many podcasts to do.
But honestly, Greg, you were one of the greatest guests we had on Off the Reels, and I am so sad that our 40-minute long duel on Donnie Depp for Last Man Standing, where you won? I remember
you won.
I can't lie
about something like that.
It was for the title. I miss my belts. My cardboard belts.
And on that note, because you've been putting me over and I can't possibly do any better, I will see you guys on the next show for more of the worst date movies ever.
Peace.
Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter and suggest movies for me to review at Worst Date Movies. And don't forget to click subscribe wherever you're listening to this right now to never miss any future episodes of Worst Date Movies ever.